Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the New York City Council is meeting right now to vote on the future of the Willets Point Development Plan. And by all accounts, the council will approve it. The proposed redevelopment in the area around Shea Stadium includes 500,000 square feet of office space, 8 acres of parks, stores, and a hotel and conference center. Is anybody going to go there in this economy? But at the moment, the city has agreements to acquire about 31% of the 48 acres of privately owned land at Willets Point, and negotiations with landowners will continue even after today's vote. But of course, lots of negotiations have already taken place, and we're now joined by two Willets Point business owners on each side of those negotiations, one on each side. Carlos Canal is the owner of Flushing Towing. He had a column in the Daily News yesterday called "Why I'm Glad I Sold My Willets Point Property to the City." Also with us is Jake Bono of Bono Sawdust Supply, who has refused to sell and still opposes the city's plan. So Jake and Carlos, welcome to WNYC.
Yeah, how are you doing?
And Jake, I'll start with you. It looks like the city council is going to go ahead with this plan and will even use eminent domain to seize private property. You've refused to take the city's deal. So where do you go from here?
Well, I'm going to go to working with the Institute of Justice. That's the guys who fought for the big Supreme Court case up in Kelo 3 years ago. I'm fighting for my rights and property rights for all New Yorkers. You know, it's just totally wrong that the city can come and see. The vote didn't even happen yet, and everybody's saying, including yourself and everywhere else, saying that the vote is going to be yes. And that's the same thing that took place when the city 6 or 7 years ago made a drawing with a hotel or a convention center on our land. We were already out in everyone's minds before it even started. And that's what, when you have the power of eminent domain, that's how sure you can be. Without talking to the people who own the land, that's how sure you can be that you're going to get their land.
Carlos, let me ask Carlos, was your deal with the city due to the fact that you read the writing on the wall? As Jake is saying, you figured you wanted to get what you could before your land was just taken from you?
We make a deal. They offer so many ways to make the deal, right? Buy the property, give it another piece of land. So I should want to give me another piece of land, you know, with the same condition and a happy year. And I believe that's a nice deal for me.
You wrote that there isn't a place like this anywhere else in New York City, that it's so dirty and filled with garbage and dust. But once it's redeveloped, do you feel like there will be a place for you and your business?
Well, if the city is going to redevelop this, but the plan is different. That they want to put the housings and everything here, it's going to be. If the city develops this place around here, it should be worth a lot of money.
I mean, with a hotel and convention center, they'll still let you have a towing business somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's going to be great for me. I mean, I believe that that's going to have. I'm going to make more business. You know, that type of business. You know.
Jake,
they're going to make whatever you say, hotels and all of the stuff.
And Jake, what about the kind of decrepit state of the neighborhood and the argument that it should be, a polluted area like this should be cleaned up?
First of all, the land's not polluted. We've been on 2 feet of concrete for 6 or 7 decades, so my land is cannot be polluted. And even the city's own studies show that it's not polluted. You know, the biggest thing here is the eminent domain issue. You know, nobody would come sit with to the table with the city if they weren't being threatened with eminent domain. So none of this property that the city would has acquired wouldn't be acquired if they didn't have the threat of eminent domain. And that's the real issue here. You know, it's not about how pretty Willets Point is or not. When they took Brooklyn and Atlantic Yards and Columbia University, they use eminent domain. There's nothing wrong with those. There's nothing ugly about those brownstones. They come and force people off their land. This is the bottom line point. Forget about the pretty picture that they're going to paint. They're stealing people's land. And when you don't have a choice to keep your own land or hold on to what is yours, you're not in America anymore. And this is a great abuse of power, tremendous land grab. And it's really a shame that everybody sits back and is blinded by the picture, and not that if they come to your house one day and say, you only have one car garage instead of two car garage, so you're underutilizing your property, we want to take it with eminent domain, then people will realize what the real issue here. It's not what's going to be built. It's going to be how these landowners are forced to make a deal, how they're forced off their property, and it's happening all over throughout the city.
How long have you been there, Jake? Jake, how long is your business?
Just 75 years. We've been paying taxes, and my family's been working out of here.
You know, your councilman, Hiram Montserrat, just came on board after being able to get plans for low-income housing included in the proposal. Does that matter to you?
No, you know what? Nobody's anybody's councilman, because I can tell you one thing right now. Out of the 51 council people who represent 8 million such New Yorkers, I'm sure the majority of New Yorkers do not want to know that the city can come and take their property anytime. So if any council person votes for this, they're voting for eminent domain, and they're voting against the will of the people. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's really sad. And, you know, we're going to fight to the end. We're not leaving. We're not for sale. Mm-hmm. And they'll never see a shovel put in the ground where Bono Sawdust sits today, unless it's held in the hands of somebody with the last name Bono.
All right.
So if people want to support our fight to help them keep their property, then, you know, they can support us, root for us in the news, root for us in the papers, because we ain't going anywhere. So we're doing it for everybody as well as ourselves.
And thanks for correcting that it's Bono. When I see B-O-N-O, I reflexively say Bono, but B-O-N-O. Jake Bono of Bono Sawdust Supply, still in Willits Point. Carlos Canal,
for a long time,
owner of Flushing Towing, moving to a new location. Carlos, what do you charge for a tow?
Well, $50 a hookup and $450 a month.
What was that?
$50 for the hookup and $4.50 a mile.
Oh, $4.50 a mile and $50 for the hookup. Is that going to go up when you get this new property?
Well, no, I got nothing to do but with the price going up.
You won't have a higher rent. Okay, Carlos, thank you very much. Jake, thank you very much. Good luck to both of you. And with me now is WNYC's Matthew Sherman, who covers development around the city. And, Matthew, I understand there's some breaking news just now that the city is going to let some of the bigger businesses stay for a bit.
That's right, Brian. Just this morning, really, the city, after everyone came together like one big happy family yesterday, Montserrat, the mayor, speaker, Not Jake Bono. And what the city is now saying is that they're willing to let three, maybe even four, of the largest landowners there, a spice warehouse, a food warehouse, and a garbage company and a construction company, stay where they currently are. At least temporarily. And by temporarily, I think we're talking more like 5-10 years. We haven't gotten the details. We don't know for sure, for example, whether the city has sworn that they won't use eminent domain. But this radically changes everything, basically by forcing the city to take a piecemeal approach. They say they still want to redevelop Willits Point. They still want the rezoning to go through, but they're going to have some obstacles in
the way. Is this in effect scaling back because of the economic downturn?
I wonder if it's less because of the economic downturn than just the fact that these landowners have shown a lot of resistance, and by moving them, they couldn't find another place for some of these businesses. They couldn't find another place for them to relocate. Carlos Canal Towing Company, he's a very small shop. They found him another place. These places are huge. No one wants them in their neighborhood, so they're giving themselves a few more years to do this.
Jake, Sawdust included?
That's the thing, Brian, is that once you open the door for these big guys to stay where they are, now the city says, well, these big guys, they're on the edges of Willits Point, so we got to start from the western edge. That's right along Shea Stadium, the new Shea Stadium, and we'll move east. And by the time we get out to the east, maybe we'll have a new place for these big guys to move to.
The big news in the last day does seem to be that City Councilman Hiram Montserrat is now on board with the plan after having been one of its biggest opponents. Here's a clip of Montserrat from yesterday on the steps of City Hall.
This is a historic plan for the future of Queens. Jobs, housing, good prevailing wage jobs, mm-hmm. Cleanup for our community. Willits Point will now be a destination.
What really happened?
The biggest change, Brian, really seems to be the housing component of it. At first, Bloomberg was saying we're only going to make 20% of this housing affordable to low-income people. And then suddenly at the last minute, lo and behold, they were willing to raise that threshold to 35%. And furthermore, they were willing to devote some of that 35% of the apartments, low-income apartments, to very low-income families. And so that, you know, better reflects, for one thing, it addresses one of Montserrat's concerns, and it better reflects the realities of who lives in Queens.
You cover development around the city. Put this in citywide context and in the context of the economic downturn. I hear the sound of cranes coming to a standstill all over town.
Right. Well, in some ways, and the mayor was asked about this yesterday, in some ways, this is exactly where the city wants to be at this stage of the project. And
really?
That is, right after the regulatory process, they have to clean up this land. They have to find a developer. They have a lot of preliminary work to do. They have to buy these people out. Now, wouldn't you rather buy somebody out in the middle of a recession than when real estate prices were really at their height, and also construction prices? And, you know, one thing that Deputy Mayor Bob Lieber said yesterday is that it's not like these developers need financing right now. So that's on the plus side. On the downside, you're right. There's probably not quite the enthusiasm to build. The city might not get the price it wants for this land. And, you know, who knows how long this recession will last.
And when you look around the rest of the city, what about Atlantic Yards, for example? So contentious, but a lot of reports that the economic downturn, the credit crisis included, credit shortage, is making it harder for it to actually go forward. What do you know?
Right. Atlantic Yards is probably exactly where you don't want to be right when this recession hits. They've been having problems for at least 8 months, 9 months, maybe even a year, trying to get financing for this. The other big obstacle, and Forest City Ratner, the developer, you know, admits this, was a lawsuit that was filed. The state appellate court accepted in September an appeal on eminent domain, state eminent domain law, and they admitted that they've postponed their groundbreaking by 6 months until June.
I read that he's considering selling the Nets because it's so hard to make the basketball team profitable. He just bought the Nets specifically to move them to Atlantic Yards. Is that an indicator of trouble with the project?
I think that this project has a long way to go before it really will get sunk. I think that you don't start a, what is it now, a $3, $4 billion project, I lose track, without knowing that it's going to be a lot of work and take a lot of years to get done.
Tex in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tex, real quick.
How you doing? Listen, I mean, I wouldn't fall for that those good job thing from that little clip that you played.
Yeah.
That's like a George Pataki line from the early 90s. You know, when the good jobs that come in, they don't seem to pay more than the jobs that left. And I've been through that area before, and it is like the only place in New York City that looks like a third world country, like Santo Domingo or Beirut or some Accra in Ghana.
Wouldn't you want development there?
Yeah, I'm for development, but I'm not for eminent domain. I figure, you know,
right,
as long as the city's doling out money, they can give these guys a concession to pave the streets and make those businesses more professional.
I hear you. Thank you. June in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Yes. Why can't they build around these companies instead of throwing them off the land and taking their livelihoods away from them? In Manhattan, we've had several cases. There's one on 76th in Amsterdam, where the famous architect Robert A. M. Stern has built an enormous, ugly condominium.
And June, let me get an answer for you. Why can't they build around the businesses that want to stay and still put up the new stuff?
The news this morning, Brian, suggests that maybe they will have to. But the answer until now has been they need to get rid of everybody so they can actually raise the level of the ground by 6 feet, install sewers for the first time in Willets Point. The other reason, Brian, is that this is going to be a white-collar community of offices and apartments. No one wants a towing company or a junkyard next door.
15 seconds. What do you say to all those who believe that eminent domain is a disgrace when it's used for private development like this? What does Michael Bloomberg say?
Michael Bloomberg will say, undoubtedly, we have to keep that option open. He'll say that economic development is a public purpose. He'll say in the point of Willett's point, however, that there's an environmental purpose, that we're cleaning up Flushing Bay for this, and that's a public purpose.
Matthew Sherman, economic development reporter for WNYC. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Newell McGovern produced this program with Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Nadia Zonis. And we had help from Charles Choi, and that's Dmitry Krasny at the Audio Controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.